Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. As always, I like to let people know that if you want to find out more about this show and other shows that we run on a weekly or monthly basis, you can find out more about the radio shows at our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'd like to introduce a great guest that we have on with us this evening. We have Maureen St. Germain with us this evening. Maureen, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a great honor to have you on here. Is it all right if I start up by telling people how we met?
Oh, yes. I'd love that.
I had been traveling around the country, basically setting up booths and doing some work at expos for Deborah King. Deborah King is a spiritual teacher, a woman out of California, who I've been studying energy healing with for the past 2 years. And as part of it, she had asked me to go around and set up booths and basically work a number of expos. And one of the expos that I had a chance to work was the New York one. I think it was called New Life. Wasn't that what it was? Mark Becker's conference?
That's correct. The New Life Expo.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was in New York City. I'm no stranger to New York. Coming from the technology background, I spent 25 years running technology out of New York City. And it was great because, of course, now I'm down in Florida and I've totally forgotten about the two-hour commute and all that wonderful stuff that goes with the city. And, you know, I was back in New York and setting up my booth and happened to be doing what I love the most about expos, which is going around the floor and meeting all the other different people who have booths set up. And as I was going around, I came across a booth that was basically had information about sacred geometry and had some, I want to call it aromatherapy, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, about the different products you have, because I don't know if aromatherapy would be the right word for it. And then, and of course, your books and your CDs and everything else, and I saw this incredible light just coming off the top of your crown. And I said, wow, there's somebody I got to go talk to. And, of course, went right over to the booth. And it had you very interestingly wedged in between, I think it was a Windows salesperson, you know, I don't know who puts together these expos some days, but, and then someone selling some type of frozen packs that you could heat or freeze or something, and just saw this incredible energy. I said, you know, went up and introduced myself, and I think one of the most incredible things after talking to you after a couple minutes is you basically handed me one of your books and said, I need to give this to you. And I looked at it and said, huh, I have no idea what this is, but, you know, I'm not going to turn down a gift. And, of course, you know, with the fact that I, you know, I don't get a chance to meet too many incredible authors, I said, you know, would you mind signing it? And you ended up signing it. And it wasn't until that evening when I was back in my hotel room that I actually had a chance to open up the front of the book, take a look at it, and actually take a look at the message you wrote. And for myself, which I claim I've been on my spiritual journey for about 3 years, in hindsight, there's a lot of indicators to go back to when I was a child. But, you know, as far as really kind of coming out of technology and dedicating my life to teaching and doing things like the radio show and anything else that I can to help people promote their spiritual work or for me to teach my teachings, I try to do. And I call that my spiritual journey. And I really say, well, for the emphasis of it, of actually finally getting the work, it's been about going on a little bit over 3 years now. And the message you wrote in the front of the book was so me that I was like, here's a validation of somebody who is really tapped in. Because, you know, sometimes you don't know with people and, you know, and stuff like that. So since then, and I think it was interesting because I bought all your CDs. And I've been listening to all those, and one of them is a meditation. And I remember talking to you about it at the show, and we'll talk about more about that in the teachings and everything you do. And I remember you saying, well, you know what, before you go do this, you really need to go pick up and help me with his name. Is it Dan Melchizedek?
Melchizedek.
Thank you. And he has the Flower of Life Volume 1 and 2 books out. And
right.
You had said something like, oh, you should probably go grab the second volume and read such and such a section. Of course, you know, me being the seeker, I love getting my hands on anything anybody recommended. So I bought both books and read all of it. And, wow, just so much incredible material. And then I read through your book, and I was just like, wow, this is, you know, we always talk about on our spiritual journeys how the right teachers come into your life at the right time. You're given a book at the right time. And, you know, it's fun to have that extra validation to say, the timing couldn't have been perfect as far as you handing me that book. And, you know, the teachings and everything and some of the key stuff there. And I've studied, and a lot of people who've listened to, like, the men's show, which I did for the first time last week. I have a show that I do once a month called the Men's Spiritual Hour on Blog Talk. And we have the different men come on and talk about their spiritual journeys. And I was talking about mine. And it's just amazing to see as our journeys unfold, the different things we learn and the different teachers that come in. And people who know me or have heard of some of my journey know that, you know, I've done a lot of studying with a lot of different people around the United States. And I've read a lot of books. And what I felt was very interesting about your book is that it had material in it. Like most of the time when I read a book, depending on where I'm studying, if I'm studying mediumship or intuitive or psychic ability or whatever it is that I'm looking into, angels or something like that, generally what I read, I pretty much have already read in two or three other books. But the material that was in your book was so unique and so important to, like, I couldn't imagine your book not being of value to, like, you know, because one of the key things that you teach in your book is how to contact your higher self. And, you know, for a lot of people, they might not know what that is, and it's really about really connecting with your higher essence, you know, getting that guidance, being able to have that connection, and in being able to get guidance in your life, which can be really important. And that's important for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're spiritual or not spiritual or, you know, whatever you want to believe. That key concept is so key to life. You know, it's almost like the handbook that you should have as a person in life. And no one else teaches that. I mean, a lot of people talk about how to talk to your guides or angels or this or that or how to work on your intuitive abilities. But no one really teaches you how to make that higher connection. And when I saw your book, I was like, wow, here is the missing piece. So it was just amazing meeting you at the expo. Of course, I've been calling you from time to time, and it was great that we were able to get you during your busy travel schedule to be able to do the radio show, because I did want to talk to you on air and share your information with the world. And, you know, that's really my experience and how I met you at the expo.
That's very cool, and it's very exciting, Mark, to hear your story. And it also is a confirmation to your listeners when you describe that you see this incredible light coming off of my head. When you said that, I thought, I didn't know that. I mean, I know it, but it's not very often that someone can say that they saw it. Did you see my big purple ball that travels with me? I call it the big purple ball, but it's really much more than that. It's a very powerful energy of Saint Germain. And I also have a number of other guides that always show up when people look at me or they see pictures. And so thank you for acknowledging that. I really, really appreciate it. Like you, it's been a long, sweet journey that I believe the journey has made me who I am. And at the same time, I recognize that I came in to do this work, and that's what my life has always been about. A few years ago when I was moving, I came across a cassette tape that I had made. And the cassette tape wasn't dated, but it was, you know, a guided meditation I'd made for myself where I was, you know, saying some things. And as I was recording it, a baby woke up, and I remember picking the baby up and talking sweetly to the baby and putting the baby to breast and then continuing the guided meditation. And as I re-listened to it those many years later, I thought, it has to be at least this old because that's how old the youngest one is. And
wow.
I thought, it's been a part of my life all my life, as far as I know. So thank you, God. Thank you, God, and thank you all for listening because, you know, what we do, you and I, is I hope we're a beacon to people so they can find their way and they are inspired and they are entertained and they find their joy as they find their way through their journey.
Mm-hmm. So it's so, you know, with the story there, it was so beautiful that you shared that. Can you go back and talk about it? I know for me, when I tell my story about my shift, or as Wayne Dyer would call it, the shift in priorities, or the movie The Shift, or some people call it the midlife crisis or something like that, I basically got a psychic reading that kind of put me on my path and got me into really just kind of putting a lot of my time into the spiritual work versus where I was before, which was the corporate world. What was the shift for you, or were you the gifted child with the gifts and born with it? And
I had a toe in each water. I also was gifted as a child. And one of the things that came through as my gift was I was highly emotional. And I remember as a child recognizing that my emotional body was probably bigger than a mile and a half around me. And I understood it. I could see where it was, but I didn't know that that's what it was called, and I didn't know what an emotional body was. I just knew that my emotions could feel that far out. And I used to try and pull it in, you know, like those little dolls that kids can buy where you use a key and you pull the hair in so it's short or long.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of my first experiences as a child. And then it's another experience as a child. I was aware that there were what I will call beings that were not so nice that were watching. And I remember making myself invisible to them. And this is before I understood any of this work. And then growing up, I always knew things. And for those of you who have ever been let go, you can rest assured that if you've ever been fired, that probably means you're special. And don't get too worked up over it because it means you didn't fit in. And very likely you did your job really well and that's why they fired you, because you didn't fit in. And I remember knowing when I was going to get let go each time, which is very unnerving for the employer when you go, okay, yeah, I know. And they're thinking, what do you mean you know? Nobody told you, and who let the cat out of the bag? So, and even when I worked as a lobbyist, I can tell you there was a time when I was now doing the spiritual work on the weekends and then teaching spiritual classes, and traveling, and then coming back to my home and my corporate job, because I had four sons and I was putting them through college, and I had I worked representing the telephone companies, in the Public Service Commission. And a lot of times, rules that were made to kind of contain the big telephone companies would adversely impact the small mom-pop telephone companies. And, you know, if you live in a big city, you don't realize what that's like. But in Minnesota and in Wisconsin and a few other Midwestern states, at one time there were upwards of 150 different family-owned telephone companies. Most of those have been bought out now. But back when I was doing that work, they had an organization, and I was represented for them. And there was some kind of ruling that no one could figure out how to oppose, but we all knew it was a bad idea. And the way it works is the laws are passed by the state, and then the Public Service Commission, the policing body, has to make a ruling that represents what the intention of that law was. And they hold hearings. And I remember asking in meditation, what can I say in this brief that I have to write? It was a legal brief. And I was given very clear information, and I wrote it. And I had a committee meeting with all the other telcos, and they wanted to know what I was going to write, and I showed them. And even the big telephone companies worldwide, you know, like Verizon and those guys, they all copied my idea. And the head of the organization that I worked for came to me and said, I read everyone's brief. I just want to know, did they copy you or did you copy them? And I thought it was hilarious because I knew what my boss was really asking, and I also knew it was going to make them crazy if he knew for sure that they had copied me. So I just smiled, and he got the message without my saying it and making him even more nutso. But he said it was really good and very creative.
Wow.
So even in the corporate world, I was using this work. And that's one of the things that I really intended, is to not just be an agent for change for myself and for people who are willing to change, but to be an agent for change that would be convenient and inviting for the corporate world, the A-type personalities, so that they would incorporate this into their life and they would get it, that they were much better off. You know, look for that. You know, we're all, especially in the corporate world, we're always looking for better ways to do what we're currently doing. And we're inspired to do that. We're in you know, that's one of the trademarks, really, of most American businesses, the flexibility, innovation, and creativity that's encouraged and allowed. And so what I was doing is finding ways for people to do things that would be the same as what they needed to do in their corporate job, would give them accuracy. For example, as a fundraiser, I figured out early on some very powerful tools to manifestation. And so the very first big crowd that I taught before was at a trade association where I taught people how to manifest, and I used the manifestation technique to get into the schedule and on the roster, and it was such an amazing story. After I visualized that I had over 100 people in the room, and I'm using the word visualize, but that's not all I did, so I'm just taking a shortcut. I'm not telling you everything I did. I've created the manifestation, and then at the event, which was coming up just a few weeks away, I ran into somebody that I hadn't seen in a long time, and we kept trying to make it time to get together. Finally, I said, can we please meet for breakfast before you leave? So she did. She got up early, and we met, and we chatted, and I told her my dream of presenting before the organization, and I wanted to share my tools for manifestation, and that I wanted to make it a way for people as fundraisers to improve their results without raising the stakes on their side of energy or stress. And she said, you know, I really like this. And then she said, you know, you have to present. You have to put that proposal before the committee, and they're going to meet in 2 weeks for next year's event. And I said, like most of us might, I knew that, which I didn't. And then she said, well, if you get it in to the staff by next week, it'll go on. The staff will review it, and if they put it on the agenda, I can speak in favor of it because I sit on that committee, and I love your idea. We don't have enough creativity in this program. I didn't even know she sat on a committee. I didn't even know that this was her last meeting. So I created the opportunity and then walked through the door. And I didn't know I was creating the opportunity, and that's one of the things about the way I teach manifestation that is uniquely different than what everyone else teaches. And it's part of the reason, and I love what you said about the fact that my work is unique and completely different than what everyone else is saying, is because I have brought this information in directly from my direct connection to spirit, to God. And although there are similarities, most of what I teach is based on a different way of thinking than the way we currently think today. And because it's different than the way we think today, the results are almost instantaneous. It's quite remarkable.
Wow. So, you know, going back to, before you had started your official studies, because I think you studied with Melchizedek, right?
I studied with Drumbel Melchizedek. He was actually the last teacher I studied with. I studied with a group of Essenes. I studied the Casey material. I studied the Course in Miracles work. And then I studied a lot of authors independently for a few years before I began leading study groups. My original study groups were author books, you know, or author study groups, like just picking an esoteric book and having a group meet and talk about it. But, you know, I had things happen that were really interesting to me. Like, for example, I was taught to name a particular tool that I didn't even know what that meant. And then later, maybe 2 months later or 3 months later, found that same phrase in a book describing how to set the stage for something. And even in, like, readings that I do for people in the Akashic Records, one time a man, I didn't know that the husband of the wife that had invited me and who was hosting me in the city, he was also a meditation teacher, but he was teaching a different kind of meditation than what I teach, and I think it was her statement to him, you know, back off. But I didn't know any of this. All I knew was that I was her guest and that he was a high-level engineer, technology kind of guy. And so when she left the house to go to a PTA meeting, he came to me and said, my wife said you can give me a reading. Can you do that now? And so I said, sure, why not? So we did the reading, and in the middle of the reading, there was a word that came through in a sentence that I had no idea what I was saying. You know, it would be like, you're supposed to do gobbledygook and then do gobbledygink. And I heard it, and I thought, I have no idea what that means. And so I said to him, I'm being told some things that make no sense to me. I'm going to go ahead and repeat it as it's given, and please tell me if it doesn't make sense to you. And he said, okay. So I did that, and he said, okay, continue. And I thought, darn, he's not even going to tell me what I said.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so many things to talk about, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the first meditation that you started with, the first meditation practice?
Well, you know, I read Jane Roberts when it was new. And so I grew up Catholic, and I would do, you know, the rosary and, you know, a lot of prayers like that. And so I think that my early heritage set the stage. And then with the Edgar Casey group, I belonged to an ARE study group, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. We did a weekly meditation. And I had some profound experiences then. And I will tell you, those of you who are listening, you know, sometimes we go into meditation and we say, oh, gosh, I wish I could see colors, or I wish I would hear things, or like that. My recommendation to you is to go into your meditations with absolutely no agenda. It's okay to say, gosh, I'd like to be able to see or hear or have awareness, and make that a statement. And then let that, you know, kind of back off of that And then just be in that quiet, still space and let whatever happens, happens, because that's when the magic does occur. And so for me personally, sitting still in a meditation was a little more challenging than most. With a very active mental body that was really trying to keep up with my emotional body. And at one point, without even knowing what I was asking, when I was still in the corporate world, I actually asked Archangel Michael, do not do this at home. Do not ever do this, by the way. This is something that I did because, remember, I had an emotional body that was close to 3 miles big. I asked Archangel Michael to pull my emotional body close to me and to contain it in chainmail. And chainmail is that mesh that they put as the undergarment for armor that they wore in the medieval times. And I did that because I was feeling so much, I didn't know what to do. And because I had a family and I had a strong desire to make a lot of money, to put my sons through school, blah, 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 it was very important to me that I not appear to not be able to contain my emotions or not overreact to stuff that I knew was going on. So it was a Band-Aid so I could work in the corporate world. I don't need that now. And it's really kind of funny because when I'm working with someone I know quite well, and they're, you know, complaining about an issue, let's say a physical issue, and someone who was close to me recently is complaining about something, I looked at them and I could see what it was, and it was like somebody had tied a knot or tied the intestines in a little bit of a knot, and it was all kind of tight in the middle spot, so it's like creating a real tough spot for people to have clear digestion. And then immediately the reflexology point began to sting and throb in my foot. Now, I didn't know it was the reflexology point. All I knew was that my foot hurt like heck. So I announced it, and then I said, we need to press in on this point. And I took the person and laid them down on a massage table, and I said, okay, let's press in on this. And then later when I had a session the next day and I was telling this story, the worker who, that, I mean, she's a body worker, she said, oh, that's the reflexology point for that thing that was going on for that person.
Wow.
So in my case, yeah, I just get the information. Even I don't always understand it. Now, you know, I've been through a lot. You've been through a lot. It's always nice to have been through a lot because at least it gives you a point of compassion. It's far more easy to have compassion for everybody and every situation when you have either observed other people's pain or you've experienced your own.
So I want to find out how you got started with the records and everything, but before we do that, why don't we go ahead and take a break now? I want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And the guest you're listening to on the radio this evening is Maureen St. Germain, who is going to tell us more about all the different things she teaches and her book and everything else in the next half hour. And with that, can you tell us what your website is?
Yes, it's MaureenStGermain.com. Or angleangel.com for a shortcut, but Maureen, MaureenStGermain.com. And we have a couple other websites also that we'll talk about later when we talk about the Aura Mandalas and the Akashic Records and stuff like that. So that'll get everyone started.
So how did you get started with doing records readings?
Actually took a few trips into the Akashic Records and got caught, if you will, because you're not supposed to do that, by the way. And I was told, what are you doing here? And so then I backed off, and then I studied with a group that I have since ejected from. And that led me to create my own system and take the work to a whole nother level. We work with the Ascended Masters, and we have the oversight. And one of the things that happened, which was very, very profound, was I was with a client, and she had to make a stop to take care of something. And I said to her, you know, it's been a long day. How about if I just sit in the car while you take care of this, and I'll take a quick nap? And when I came out of that nap, I came back with this very clear message. And the message was, Marilyn Dumont has a message for you. Now, Marilyn is an astrologer in Atlanta, and she doesn't do messages. She just does astrology. And I was in Atlanta at the time, and so I called up and left a message with her husband. She'd already gone to bed, and she'd gone to her corporate job in the day, and on her way back, she was thinking about what she was going to do when she called me back. And she asked her, and when she kind of mentally asked this question, so I probably should run Maureen's chart again, and instead of, you know, that general sense of that's what I should do, before she could really get that thought formalized or finalized, her guides came in and said, absolutely not, we have a message for her. And as she said to me, I thought I was supposed to update your chart, and I said, well, that's what I thought too. And she said, but I have news that I have a message for you, and I'm to deliver it as it is. And the first part is, we have a message for you, which was a complete match to what I was told. And remember, we were going through a go-between, which is her husband. And then secondly, she said, you have been given access to a dimension that has been beyond the reach of humanity for millions of years. And then she said that I was being given a permanent guide, and there were a number of other things. Later, I asked, why did this have to come through somebody that I was a good acquaintance and someone I admired, mutually admired, but wasn't in my inner circle per se, or even why did it come through me directly? And the first answer is so true, and that is, I have a big concern about aggrandizement. There's lots of well-known teachers who puff themselves up, and so I didn't want to just artificially puff myself up. And if they had told that to me, I would have blown it off. So it had to come from outside of me so that I would honor it. And secondly, it had to come from somebody who wasn't necessarily that kind of a messenger, so I wouldn't dismiss it for being, oh, well, that's what she says to everybody. You know, like, you're my favorite child to one, each one of the four. So all of those things then created the reality that I couldn't deny it. And so then when I checked in and asked, okay, so is this true? Is this valid? And the answer was yes. And history has proven it out because of the work that I've been able to do since that time. I made a huge leap in my own consciousness because I was able to tune directly to God. And it's so funny. My my husband, when he first met me, he was trying to get something out about how he was so attracted to me. And he said, he told me later that what he said was, I'm so attracted to you because you're a direct channel to God. And as he's telling the story later, he said, when I said that, that's not exactly what I thought I was going to say. And then I laughed and said, you must have channeled it. and the joke can like be a circular joke because it's just so sweet. And it was like a validation to both of us. In that moment, even he had to channel that message to make it really clear that he understood that, because how else would he have known for certain if it hadn't come out of his own mouth?
Mm-hmm. So let's go into some information for everybody so that they know. What is it that you generally teach?
Okay. So that's wonderful. I want everyone to understand that my primary mission is to teach. My primary mission is to share what I have learned and to make it practical for you so that you can pick up these tools and put them to work for you. So even though I'm practicing all these gifts, and these gifts are great for show and tell, my job isn't to do that stuff as much as it is to distill it in a way that allows you to acquire that same set of skills. So I teach through a number of courses, and I'm developing more coursework, longer type work with me. I have teleclasses that I teach, and I have wonderful work that I teach at places like Kripalu, the Yoga Center, and then I also teach classes out in the world. And one of the classes that I became famous for is the class known as the Merkaba, the original 17-breath Merkaba meditation that came out through Drumbolo Melchizedek. And I taught that for almost 20 years. Now, that school has been closed, but I'm still teaching it because I was teaching it long before this actual, you know, facilitator program came into being. And what I'm doing now is making available that work at a much more evolved way. So I'm offering much more information that's in the core material that was taught. And I'm also taking the teachings about sacred geometry and bringing them out in a very feminine way. Many, many people who originally understood or became interested in sacred geometry through the work of Drumbolo have kind of moved away from Drumbolo, and that's okay because I'm not actually in that camp anymore. I'm basically teaching what I've begun to understand about sacred geometry. And the most important thing to hear is that it's the feminine side of sacred geometry, because geometry itself is very linear, very male in its expression. And what I have done is taken the sacred geometry and moved it into a female expression that is so powerful and so dramatically different that the men who show up tell me that they are learning things that they had never learned. I had a guy who's a PhD in physics and a biologist say that what he learned from me about sacred geometry and phi, for example, which is one of the sacred numbers in sacred geometry, is nothing he'd ever learned in school, and it transformed how he perceived his own work and the reality. Then I also teach people how to open up the Akashic Records for themselves and for others.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the records for a minute? Because some people might say, she keeps on talking about the records. I don't know what these records are she's talking about.
Yes. After creation in this reality, it was agreed upon by those beings involved in the creation that it would be good to create an off-planet energetic source that would hold the memories and the experiences in real time of life on this planet. And it also contains all other planets as well and other realities and so on. This set of records most likely can be compared to a library, but it would be more like a library of the future, where the field is living, where you touch something and the book comes out and opens to the page you need. And it's living in another way because it also contains possible futures and probable futures. It is so alive that that's why we're not allowed in. And we work with what's called record keepers or guides or reference librarians, who are tuned to us when we tune to them. And for metaphor's sake, we meet on the steps of the library and they answer our questions and they retrieve information. And people can get information about the future, but it's not a psychic reading because it's more about how shall I live my life and optimize the knowledge that we have. So, for example, in my own world, my husband is from another part of the world than where I'm from, and I could not imagine how I could be based in one city and he could be based in a city halfway around the world, you know, all the way across the country. how could we manage to even, how could we be in a relationship? How could we even date? And the record keeper said to me, don't worry about it. We've got you covered. And over throughout the two-year courtship, we would land in the same cities at the same time on different work. And it's so interesting to me because I would always check in when I would book a city. So we would set up a city, Florida, whatever, and check in. We would be told, yes, this date, yes, this city, this person. And then I would discover on his schedule that he had a convention that he had to show up for. And I would say, did you book that when you knew I was going to be there? And he said, no. But now that you brought it up, why don't you come in early and spend some time with me while I'm at this event, and then I'll leave and you can do your workshop. And that happened over and over and over. It was absolutely amazing.
Now, you said when you went into the records for the first time, I think you were doing a meditation, and you kind of went into the records and you were kind of told to leave. Do they call it the Beings of Light? Is that the group that oversees the records and kind of makes sure that there's no misuse or something like that? I mean, not that what you were doing was misuse.
You know, that's a good question. I would call them the guardians of the Akashic records and the record keepers, and that's what they go by. Mm-hmm. And so their purpose is so that you do not despoil the energetic purity that is there, that is the reflection of what is. And just like the best example is in Back to the Future, when Michael J. Fox is sitting in the car and his mother's trying to make out with him, and he's looking at a family picture of himself that's now fading away, and he can see his possible future changing, and he's like, I got to get out of here. This is creepy. It's a bit like that. So if you were in the records yourself and you saw something, let's say that you were stabbed and died, and then you look at the person that did it, because that's what the natural inclination would be, who did this to me? And you discover it's the person you're married to, it might change how you act at home.
Just a little
but if
bit.
If you're working with a guide and you ask the guide, you know, why is it that, you know, my husband and I always blah, 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 you know, we feel very close, but there's this one subject that we just go wacko on, the record keepers could say, well, you know, you struggled in another lifetime. And at the end of the reading, you might get told that this time you decided you wanted to work it out. And so there wouldn't be that intense emotional reaction, because the emotions are a creation of the human. And it is a way to experience more of the reality than we could currently experience without that. So if you bring that quality of emotional responsiveness to observing you in a situation that is highly charged already, you can see how that emotion then would color that system and change the system. And so it's like just not allowed. It's just... Mm-hmm. And that's why it's off-planet. That's why it's not part of this reality. And it's also very important that people understand the records were created after creation was begun. So this was not part of creation, but so early on that the time before that time isn't really much known about because there was no record.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go in and just kind of touch on three different areas of things that... that I got from the, you know, meeting you at the expo. One is talking about your book and what people can learn from that and what led you to write that. The second will be the CD series and the different CDs that you have. And then the third is going to be this OCTA oil blend that I use and where that kind of came from and, you know, how you got started with that. But before we get into that, can you give somebody a tidbit of spiritual information? And that is, what do you think, no matter what a spiritual person is involved in, what do you think is the most important thing they should be doing in their spiritual life to move themselves to the next step?
I think the most dramatic change that a person could make is to learn to do the 17 breath Merkaba meditation, because it is a very systematic, step-by-step, 5-minute meditation that once you learn it and do it every day, it will change who you are from your 3D self to your ascended fifth dimensional self. So
Excellent. Everything
takes a giant leap forward with that work.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell everybody, because I'm in the process of getting ready to learn this, and I have started with the books and everything that talk about how to learn it, and I can tell you personally, you can't learn it from the book. You really have to go and physically go learn it from somebody who is qualified to do that. And with that, why don't we just talk about where are you teaching over the next 2 months?
The next 2 months, I'm teaching at Kripalu. Well, this weekend, I'm actually teaching in the Seattle area in a little town east of Seattle called Issaquah. And then I'm going to be teaching in Cedar Rapids area, Iowa, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the following weekend. And then we'll be in London. And if you need to see me in London, you have to email me because it's a private event. And then in the following weeks, I think it's like starting July 7th, I'll be at the yoga institute called Kripalu. And that's a week-long intensive, and that's a very special program that we only do at Kripalu. And then there'll be other classes in the fall in a lot of different cities. I'm also releasing a new product that we are announcing on June 20th. And it, for those of you who just can't get to a class, you're going to be very happy to see and know about it. So if you have not yet signed up for my newsletter, when you go out to my website, please sign up for the newsletter so you can get that announcement and you can learn all about it in another way, another vehicle for you to get the knowledge you need.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and I'm also teaching Akashic Records courses on how to open up your own Akashic Records. And in the fall, we have two classes coming up in New York City area, level 2, which is to read for others, and then a level 1, which will probably be before that. I also have an online course that will probably occur, another round of that occurs in late July and August. And those online courses are very, very powerful. We do amazing work there, and we have amazing graduates who go on to become readers for others. It's quite a wonderful program. And I'm going to go ahead and jump into the CDs, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
The CDs that I have written are part of what I will call the Betty Crocker series. Now, when I was younger and like a young mom, I so wanted to be able to help people get what I had learned, all the research I had done, all the experiences I had. And so I joked around that I was the Betty Crocker of the meditations, because my meditations are giving you basic information, but there are pauses throughout that help you insert your own prayer, your own special request, your own need, and then they continue, and then the next round, and the next round, and the next round. So my meditations, especially the first two, Rainbow Angel Meditation and Crystal Elohim, there are very powerful places for you to either repeat after me or to insert your own prayer. I don't know anyone who does anything like this. Secondly, as a musician, I was guided and wrote all the background music and did my own mixing and my own scoring so that it would have a certain effect, which has turned out to be very powerful. So going back to the Betty Crocker idea, then I began to think, you know, Betty Crocker's kind of old. She's been around forever. I probably should update that thought. So then I decided to joke around and say, well, I'm like Martha Stewart. You know, I give you all the ingredients, and all you do is assemble them in your own home and make your house smell nice or whatever. But then she went to jail. So one of the things that you, when you study with me and you get to know me in person, especially in the workshops, no matter what I'm teaching, you'll always see this humor come through over and over as a way to help you remember. And also because it's fun. It's, you know, it's just so much more fun. And so all these CDs just kind of burst out of me. Later, much later, I decided to have a numerology chart done. Now, I'm a numerologist myself, but I decided to have a chart done by the Edgar Cayce Institute because I've been a member for a long time and they're running some kind of a special. And they, what they do is they use the Edgar Cayce readings, and based on your birthday and your astrology and what was said about somebody or something in those combinations, this is what you would be good at. And it said that my most prolific work would be the meditations. And at that point, I already had like 15 guided meditations out there for people to either download, or you can buy the CDs, and they're sold everywhere. You can buy them in just about any store you want. It cracked me up because I thought, well, that might have given me a little better suggestion back then, but I just went ahead and did it. And then after the CDs, and I was doing a lot of Sacred Journey work, and I still do Sacred Journey. My next Sacred Journey is to Peru, and we're going in September, and we are going to be in Peru over the equinox. And we're going to be doing a very powerful work on Lake Titicaca, and I'm calling it Remembering Our Future and the Equinox Activation for Earth Balance. And we're actually going to be using Lake Titicaca for a water birth, energetically a water birth. I'm so excited.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, I don't know how we're doing time-wise, but if there is time, I would be thrilled to talk about all the Aramandalas, especially this blend you're talking about, Octa.
Yeah, if you could talk about that for a second, because I know the Octa is the one that I've been using.
Okay, well, I'm putting it on right now. It's so funny. There are 24 blends. And what happened to me is I had a woman come to work for me, a lovely person, who in her 50s got her master's degree in aromatherapy and with a major in natural health and an emphasis in aromatherapy. And she had worked as a legal assistant. So she's a brilliant mind, very sharp. And she originally helped me with my logistics, you know, helping people who were wanting to sign up and host me in various countries and various places. And she was very clear that she needed to go with me on the Mary Magdalene journey. And I said, you know, right now I'm not sure we can pull that off, but we managed to figure out a way to make it work. And then these blends started coming through. Like when she would wake up, she'd have this formula. And she got three blends right away, Bethany, the Wisdom, and the Way. And all three of those blends were part of the Mary Magdalene sacred journey. And over time, all of those blends then became part of the packaging that helped people, again, with their spiritual journey work, because it gave people the opportunity to learn how to tap into those unresolved emotions and heal them and move them. So the website is called aromandalas.com. So it's A-R-O and then the word mandala, M-A-N-D-A-L-A-S, aromandalas. And I encourage anyone who's listening to go there. Now, the particular blend, Octa, O-C-T-A, was channeled for the octahedron workshop that I don't do. Someone else was doing it at the time. And it's not a meditation that you necessarily need to do, but the energy of Octa is so remarkable because it is, the name Octa is short for octahedron, the eight-sided shape so often seen in the fluorite crystal. And it is made with eight essential oils to reflect the power of the octahedron, and just using it creates the energy. But that energy connects you with world energy, because individually we would never activate an octahedron around the body as an individual one. It's always world work. And you would never keep it in place. But this like is like a gentler, safer way to do it. And what this does is clears the planetary wound of shame, both personal and cultural. Now, this is very important to understand, because this is one of the tools that those that would have us fail use to hold us back. So if I can shame you into behaving a way I want you to, then I haven't had to do anything. I've let you use your own feelings of, quote, shame to control you. So when we clear it out, then there is no shame. So, for example, children are taught how to use the bathroom. And when my little niece was over at my house on Mother's Day, I came out of the bathroom and she said to me, "Aunt Maureen, did you flush?" And I thought that was hilarious. And I smiled very sweetly. I said, "Yes, I did. Thank you for helping me remember." But if it had been done in a derogatory way, you know, like as a mom might do as she's frustrated with her child, "You didn't flush again." You know what I mean? So that the energy is different. So judgment may be a projection. The judgment of others is wrong or bad. And that stems from an inner recognition that the same thing exists within yourself. And you're somehow projecting it onto another to avoid shame and to reinforce the right-wrong axis. And we're moving away from the right-wrong axis. So that gets cleared. And along with your own deep-seated emotional feelings that might inhibit you and your own expression of your light or your ascension. And so it clears that. And it allows you to step into a place of power and strength that really isn't available to you any other way without doing the hardcore work that we used to have to do. Now, you bought it and used it. What was your experience?
Well, right off the bat, I have to say it smelled nice.
Then what?
It smells nice. I love the way it smells. Yeah.
It smells really good. Okay.
Yeah. So it's, you know, there's been a lot of changes going on since I've started to use it. So, it, you know, some of it, it's hard to kind of tell because, you know, for me, I'm always got like six things in the irons in the fire anyways. But there's been a lot of personal clearing and a lot of that's been going on. So it's very amazing to see. So thank you for going over that.
I'll call you a world teacher with your radio show, okay? Mm-hmm. That energetic imprint is then available to others to hook onto. So it's like you've created a ladder that allows people, if they can connect with you, they can, like, use that as a bridge to help them release the shame. So not everyone has to use it. You know, it's kind of I don't want to tell you not to buy it because you don't need it because Mark has already bought it, and that's kind of like a joke. But at the same time, if you can't get these tools, make a clear intention. Go out to my website or somebody else's website, you know, it's something you really, really want, and just ask for the gift of that tool to come to you anyway, even though you don't have the resources to buy it. Because it's very important for everyone to understand that as a spiritual teacher, my job is to help you grow spiritually. And I don't want anything to be a barrier, not even money.
Well, with that, I'm going to go ahead and say thank you for a great show. As we always talk about, the hour goes very quickly. So thank you for coming on and sharing all your information. And before we sign off, if you could just tell everybody your website.
Yes. My website is MaureenStGermain.com, MaureenStGermain.com. The Aromandalas is, that's our essential oil blend or aromatherapy, as Mark calls it, aromandalas.com, Aromandalas. And finally, AkashicRecordsGuides.org, if you want to know more about the Akashic Records Guides. All of these websites are linked to the primary one, which is Maureen St. Germain. And
thank you so much for being on, and it's been a great honor to have you.
Thank you. It's a delight to be connected to you as well, Mark. And I'm looking forward to you showing up in class next month.
Sounds good. Good night, everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.